Hello, hello. What is up? We are back. We have been off for a week and a half, I think, but we've not really been off. Off sounds like we've not been working. It has not been a vacation. In fact, I'm going to toot Benzinga's horn, right? We're going to go through more of this here in a second. First off, I got my good friend Tony Noto, who used to co-host this show all the time, went off to bigger and better things, became the most rugged man in New York City, and is back co-hosting with us every now and then. What's up, my friend?
Every now and then. I'd come back every day if you'd have me.
Appreciate you.
There's nothing more that I love than looking at my face on a screen.
Oh, man. Right where I expected us to go. No, I'm just kidding. Love you, Tony. That said, y'all, we're going to dive into what conversations happened last week. As you all know, we hosted the largest and most effective conference in investment conference and finance conference in the B2B cannabis space last week. We'll dive into some themes on what happened there. Tony interviewed Mike Tyson, Ric Flair, all and tons of other leaders in the space. Some amazing conversations happened. But with that being said, let's get started. Let's get pumped up. Let's get ready for the show. Rohan, Mitch, let's kick us off.
That house music, man.
I know. Yo, we get pumped up here on Taco Tuesday. We do not let down on Taco Tuesday. This is your outro to work and your intro to tacos, and we take that very seriously here at Benzinga. With that being said, Tony Noto, you and I were both in Miami for our 16th edition of our Cannabis Capital Conference. It was our largest event ever, again, that Benzinga has ever put on. The past three cannabis capital conferences have each grown, but we saw a 20% growth year over year. From Miami 2022 to Miami 2023, we grew 20% attendance-wise in a time when this industry is, and we do not take this lightly, in the time when this industry is struggling. There's a lot of pain, a lot of struggle, a lot of tough times happening in this industry, but business still needs to get done. Over 1,000 meetings took place through our networking app, hundreds more from what we can tell outside of our networking app. I know of debt that was deployed at the event. I know of business that happened at the event. It was super successful from that side, but why we do this is because we are a content engine. We provide content and education to the masses on the cannabis space. And thanks to Javier, Maureen, and yourself, we are the largest in the world to do that. So, Tony, I want to open it up to you, man. A few themes from last week. What you interviewed several of our speakers and leaders after they got off stage. What were some of the most interesting things that you heard? Does anything stick out to you, just as a recap for our listeners who weren't there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the week kicked off right as we were arriving in Miami. There was a big M&A deal between Hexo and Tilray, which was, you know, grabbed a lot of attention because M&A is in the doldrums across every space. So for a cannabis merger to happen at $56 million, a lot of eyeballs were on it. And a lot of people had stuff to say about it. And at a time when, look, let's face it, capital is hard to come by. What are we going to do? So it's, companies of all sizes are struggling. You know, they want to increase their profit margins, getting all that business jargon and stuff. And they need M&A to do it. They need that as a strategy. And we're going to see more consolidation in this space. That was the big takeaway. And then I got to talk to folks that I never got to see in person before, like Pablo Zuanic, who is one of the foremost analysts in the space. He's very wordy. He's got a gift for gab, and I love folks with who love to talk, and in a good way. I mean that wholeheartedly. Like, you just chat with him, we could have had our own panel. I got him when he came off the stage, and he talked about how his thoughts on the price and how he thought it was fair, and how just M&A is the way to go. when the timing is right for your company, not if it's, you know, too much debt. He talked
interesting.
A lot about
so M&A, I mean, there's resistance to M&A from some companies in the space just to how cheap, right? The, you know, one side may be. Is there hope, you know, that we'll start to see that trend pick up, that you know, maybe Tilray and Hexo is a catalyst for that?
Yeah. And that was one thing that I always, it's funny, like when I read Pablo's stuff, you know, the team here, Yelena, Nina, and everybody, we sift through his reports. And I kind of expected sort of a negative outlook, but he was so positive. He had a lot of hope for the cannabis market, even with, you know, safe banking not quite where it needs to be, not quite anywhere, let's be honest. But he was optimistic. He goes, look, we're having conversations that we never had before. And if you're not feeling honest and if you're not feeling optimistic about the industry, you know, what are you feeling? Because our event, considering the attendance and the amount of business meetings that took place and the dialogues that not only happened at the event, but carried over, you know, the people exchanging numbers and keeping in touch with each other. I know I have. Like, I think people are optimistic about the industry.
You know, a couple items that I'll leave with our listeners as well here. Investors are telling companies to do what you have to do to get through this time right now. If you're a company that can survive the next, or really be competitive, I think is a better way to say that, not necessarily just survive, but be competitive over the next 12 to 18 months, and crowdfunding is how you have to do that, then do it. You know, yeah. Investors are, if you can be competitive and survive and even thrive, you know, for those companies that are doing well, there are some companies at our event that everybody wanted to talk to because they have a good balance sheet or are thought to have a good balance sheet. Good Day Farms, some of those larger private operators that we had in a bevy of at this event, they're confident right now. And I think confidence is another theme. You know, you see at this event, who's confident, who is going through the motions, you know, and who is looking to grow right now and or maximize their operational efficiencies, right? So when I look at, you know, what I got from this event, it's which companies am I most confident in as an investor that they'll be around in 12 to 18 months and fighting for market share when other companies, you know, unfortunately may not be.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that doesn't necessarily mean those companies had to be there to be competitive in 12 to 18 months, although I will say you should be. Yeah. But that being said, there was some great content on maximizing your operations, building a good balance sheet, how to look at getting investment in this tight capital time. But more than that, companies left with clients, companies left with partnerships, companies left with referral partners. That's the business that can also get done at our event. But that said, well said, Tony. Anything else? Any other themes from our event that you want to make sure we mention here?
Well, I just want to get across that it wasn't just the startups, the investors, and the publicly traded companies and the bosses and the brass at the event. This is an event where folks all across the cannabis industry, I'm talking like documentary filmmakers, authors, you know, public officials, like it just attracted so much attention. Artists, it was a really diverse group. And that was one thing that was such a pleasant surprise. Like talking with people who, we're all trying to, you know, make money doing what they do, but just where they came from, you know, it's like Bosco Adams, for example, you know, he has this movie coming out. We had an impromptu panel that was stuck right in there at 4:20 of all times on Wednesday.
What an incredible story. Y'all, if you don't know his story, and this is a good time not to cut you off, Tony, but I do want to, you know, keep us moving here so we can get to our awesome interview, because that's what we do here is we interview people who are cooler and smarter than us. But that being said, all of our content will be available, right? You know, we are a content engine. We provide content to the masses. We don't really gate it on Benzinga.com, and that's unusual You know, for a finance publication. But that being said, it will be available on our YouTube channel in our articles. Now you can see recaps from Tony, Javier, Maureen, and the like on benzinga.com/cannabis. So make sure you check all those out. But one theme from our politicians that were on site, Representative Dean Phillips from Minnesota, Representative Troy Carter from Louisiana, you must unify. This industry must unify to get anything done. And I think it's so interesting leading up to an event and being, you know, a person who puts on an event, the criticism I get for just putting on an event space. I don't, you can't take it personally. If you're doing well, you're going to have haters. But that being said, it's really interesting to see just the massive anger that people have towards where the money is in this space. And, you know, I don't want to say corporate versus culture. I think we're past that, but I do want to say that there's still a divide in this space, and Benzinga covers both sides. And if you follow Benzinga and read all of our news, Javier, you and Maureen and team do a wonderful job at that. But the divide is real. And this industry will not make it anywhere on Capitol Hill until the message is unified and it is consistent in front of multiple politicians. And that's straight from the politicians' mouths. That's not me miscommunicating it. You guys can go back and watch Dean Phillips. It's literally what he said. So it's an interesting interesting note and interesting, you know, we don't really know what we want to be yet for us to unify into that same message. There's too many different people fighting for different paths forward. So that was interesting. With that being said, we're done tooting our own horn. We always do a little recap of our events. So thank you all so much for tuning in and sticking with us on that. But this event was, I think, the best event it could possibly be in a difficult time. People got business done and we know it happened. And last but not least, bzcannabis.com, Chicago Marriott Magnificent Mile, September 27th and 28th. We will be in the Midwest for our next one. We already have 40 companies signed up to participate. We normally have around 200 speakers. So we will be done with the agenda in short order. If you want to participate, if you want your company involved, reach out to me immediately. Elliot Lane at Benzinga.com, E-L-L-I-O-T-L-A-N-E at Benzinga.com to get involved. With that being said, Tony, we're going to do a 2-minute quick fire, and then we're going to bring on our friend Sean Samuel from C15 Solutions. Really, really, really cool tech platform I'm excited to chat with. But real quick, Tony, Item 9 Labs up 20% today, dude. What the heck is happening there?
It was moving. I have it on my notes.
It's INLB on the OTC, by the way.
Yeah. We mentioned them in today's Movers and Shakers column. Yelena Martinovic was smart enough to include them at the top of her column. The CEO, he's a new CEO. It was voted one of the best cannabis companies to work for, not by us, but by another publication. Mm-hmm. I don't think we do that sort of polls, but hey, that means something.
I agree. Yeah.
CEO Mike Weinberger, he's serving on the National Cannabis Industry Association's Retail Committee. Perhaps that gave them a boost. People are excited about Item 9.
Yeah. All right. A few more here. Indiva, NDVAF on the OTC, reported their earnings. Their fiscal year 2022 revenue is up 7% year over year. Adjusted EBITDA, still a minor loss, but pretty flat year over year. Honestly, I really like Neil and what he's doing over there. They license some of the best edibles that can be found in the Canadian market. So they are the edibles voice, the edibles channel, the edibles provider to the Canadian market. And I think they do really well. Cleverleaf, CLVR, is partnering with Hypera Pharma to supply CBD oral solutions for Brazilian patients. I love this. Brazil's a huge market. It's huge. Cleverleaf, it's not been doing great, right? You know, let's not pump here. No. But at the same time, any entrance into a market like Brazil, Mexico for Zebra Brands, Germany for Flora Growth Corp. You got to watch. You got to pay attention to those types of moves and what it might do for them in a year's time. Also, a quick pump, 420. That is two days from now on Thursday. Massive day. It's a holiday in the industry as far as we're concerned. 420, we're going to be hosting Weed Maps. and their new CMO. I am so excited for that conversation. So be back with us 420 for that episode. Leafly and Uber are expanding their cannabis delivery to British Columbia. Curaleaf keeps their New Jersey adult use license. I'm not sure if you guys have followed this massive saga and just drama in New Jersey, but Curaleaf was their renewal for their adult use license was denied. They put up a legal battle and it has been approved to go through again. So they got it back.
Everybody needs a comeback story.
Yeah. How inappropriate of you. Oh man. But actually, no, that was well done. But they, I think it was in exchange for like hyper compliance measures for them and their how they are treating their workforce, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, so they have it back and running. And then last but not least, Tony, you mentioned MAPS, that again, Weed Maps, MAPS on the NASDAQ, a new partnership. What's going on there, man?
They partnered with Jack in the Box, who, if anybody has ever been to LA, not New York, because I've never had it, but there's Jack in the Box. It's popular burger joint. Everybody knows it. Yeah, it's if you know the name, you might not know the burger, but you know the name, and they partner with them. So
that is sick. Also, I mean, what better food to be available to a Weed Maps consumer? All right, Tony, we are done wrapping, my man. Always a pleasure to have you on. But now we get to talk to somebody cooler and better looking than both of us. Mitch, if you wouldn't mind, please bring Sean Samuel from C15 Solutions over to hang out with us for a little bit. Sean, welcome in, man. How are you?
Good afternoon, Elliot and Tony. That was an overly generous introduction. Thank you kindly.
Nonsense. You have the best looking beard of any of us, if I may say so. And if you are listening to this on podcast form, I'm sorry. You're missing out. That's just what it is. But Sean Samuel, you're VP of sales for C15 Solutions. And I got to ask, man, you're a very unique company, but I want you to describe this in your own words to somebody who probably has no idea what you're about to say. Let's start there. What is C15 Solutions?
Sure. So we're a technology provider in the sector. Our signature platform, I guess you could call it, is our EQMS, so quality management system. Broadly speaking, a QMS is comprised of three core facets. You've got content management, quality management, and training management. So those are kind of the pillars of our platform, but we're innovative and we've kind of gone beyond the bounds of traditional QMS into more, you know, automation, where AI's on the roadmap, you know, some real industry 4.0 kind of stuff.
Okay. So that's a lot of management. All right. Quality, you said talent. And what was the third one?
So content, quality, content, and training.
Training. All right. So how do those, what's the intertwining here, right? That's a lot of management. I feel like you're doing a lot of things there. So what's the impetus here? Like what's the through line between training management and content management?
Sure. So when I say content, think any regulated content. And the first piece of content that comes to mind are SOPs, standard operating procedures, effectively, you know, the Bible for your production process, manufacturing process, extraction process, whatever it is you do. Now, outside of SOPs, there's other regulated content. You've got product labels, you've got your batch records, you've got marketing material, maybe some R&D material. So all content that regulators are very interested in. The training piece ties in directly to your SOPs, and then even above and beyond the SOPs. And by the way, anytime an SOP is changed, all the impacted departments need to acknowledge those changes, and the regulator needs proof of that acknowledgement. So that's how the training ties in directly to the content piece. But you look at some of our larger vertically integrated customers, like a Curaleaf, who you were just speaking to, and they have a huge retail footprint. You know, that's a lot of staff that they have to train. Or you look at, instead of an MSO, an MBO, a brand operator like Awana. We work with 16 different contract manufacturers, different states. Well, guess what? Every single player in their supply chain needs to know their recipe, needs to abide by their processes. Like Wana needs to know that they can trust, you know, the supply chain. And trust is really, I would say that's like the overarching benefit that QMS brings. It addresses a few things, including the bottom line, but the trust factor, the sleep at night factor in terms of automating your compliance, currying good favor with the regulators who do the inspections. It's broadly speaking, I'd call it a risk mitigation tool.
That's interesting. And because this is a technology or that's present in other industries. So this is like cannabis industry sort of stepping up in a way.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point, Tony. I'd say that's exactly what we're seeing. When we founded the company 5 years ago and we started calling on cannabis operators, many of them couldn't spell QMS if you spotted them the Q and the S. and that's just because it is a nascent industry. And, you know, some companies did have, you know, they hired professionals from pharma, perhaps. And to your point, Tony, I'd say QMS probably originated in pharma, but it has since branched into other regulated sectors like automobile manufacturing, medical devices, even food and beverage. Right. So yes, this is absolutely, you know, a technology that exists in other mature sectors like those. And what we've done, we actually haven't reinvented the wheel. So this is the technology that we've brought to the plate. We actually licensed from a publicly traded company, US company called Veeva Systems. They're massive. I think they have a market cap of like 30 billion-ish thereabouts. They effectively own the pharma and CPG
space. No big deal. It's cool.
they work with Pfizer, right? Merck, right. All the big pharma players.
You bet. And on the CPG side, Unilever, Procter Gamble. So a lot of household names there. Point being, they're a leader in the space. They have a great foundation. And basically, our business model is a simple one. We license this, you know, awesome established solution from Veeva, and we configure it specifically for cannabis and more specifically for whatever jurisdiction you operate in. So we currently work with about 70 corporate customers, all cannabis, across 7 countries. And, you know, you could argue that the states, the U.S. is like a, you know, an amalgamation of 38 different legalized countries, given how fragmented the regulatory landscape is. So that's
a couple of follow-up questions for you there, man. So Veeva, is this how they work in every industry? As in they license their software out to other players, or is there a reason they don't work in cannabis specifically?
Yes. So to answer sequentially, they've never done this before. We're the only technology partner that has and will sell their technology. Reason being, they serve pretty much every other regulated sector you can think of. And when we originally made the proposal to Veeva, this was actually even pre-legalization in Canada. We're a Canadian company. So given the, I think it was a more of an internal risk assessment there, you know, where's the maturity of this sector at? They have a lot of other verticals they're tackling. They have a lot of other solutions too, by the way, not just QMS. They have a whole shelf of solutions for clinical trial management, marketing solutions, things like that. And we are slowly bringing those into cannabis as well. But the focus has been QMS. And, you know, for that reason, the fact that Veeva's got so much going on with the other mature sectors, you know, the contract sizes with multinationals like the Bayer, Pfizer's, Merck's, I think it was more of a distraction to them than part of the core strategy. So, you know, why not license it from them at arm's length? They can generate some wholesale revenue and, you know, we can serve the sector in a meaningful way because this is all we do. We're laser focused on cannabis.
Okay. So an additional follow-up question to that before my next follow-up question, 10 years down the road, when C15 is a $30 billion company yourself, can we expect Veeva to acquire you?
I wouldn't say it's out of the realm of possibility. And you know what? The cool thing about our relationship with Veeva, we have very close personal relationships with their management team. But more importantly, above and beyond that, we add value to them as well. So courtesy of our laser focus on cannabis, and because we have awesome customers that give us great new ideas and problems to solve, we've actually added a fair chunk of proprietary config to the Viva platform. So, you know, this is all, you know, for instance, I'm trying to think of COA automation, equipment management, HACCP, like we add batch run workflows. We add a host of stuff that isn't present in the Viva box that pharma companies, food and beverage companies are using.
Very cool. And then I do have one more question, and then Tony, I'm going to stop talking for you. You mentioned, I think a couple times now, Industry 4.0. Mm-hmm. So when I think about that, you know, when we go from Industry 1.0 to 2.0, Cannabis 2.0 was really the last one that I feel like got a lot of press. What was Cannabis 3.0? And then what was the catalyst that you see us in the 4.0 now?
So industry, to be clear, no, I'm not saying cannabis 4.0. Industry 4.0 is more like a universal term for all sectors, not just cannabis. And it's specifically like the incorporation of, it's a rapid change in tech, industry, and society due to increasing interconnectivity and automation. So it's basically the incorporation of automation, tech that can automate your processes into all regulated sectors. Now, cannabis, you know, 1.0, we had 2.0 products, derivatives, that kind of stuff. In terms of where we're at today, where we came from, you know, the only tech that was, I'll say, regulated was seed to sale inventory, right? All the states mandate you have to have something to track the inventory. And unfortunately, because that's the only thing that was ever really mandated, that was the only thing that was really automated. So there's still a lot of processes that are left to a manual kind of system. And that leaves you open to so much risk, regulatory risk, quality risk. And one of the biggest problems, I think, for US operators is scaling profitably across a highly, highly fragmented regulatory landscape. So, you know, you can hire the right people, you can have the right processes and invest in that. But if you don't invest in the requisite technology to reinforce those processes, to fill the gap when your people leave, when you have turnover, like you're gonna be exposed. And the fact that you're gonna, in the States specifically, you have to operate in a market where there's 38 different sets of regulations. Like, how are you going to do that manually? You know, you should be automating a lot of that to not leave yourself open to that operational risk. It just brings that sleep at night factor, in addition to the ability to scale comfortably, knowing you're doing everything in a compliant fashion. You're not leaving profit on the table because you've scaled too quickly in a haphazard way, and now you're left with complaints, scrap, reworks, inspection observations, things like that a lot of operators currently face with today. That's a real issue, the cost of compliance and quality in the cannabis space.
Yeah. Well, we talk about quality. The first thing that comes to mind for me is whether or not products are on the up and up, or whether they were tainted with a little contamination, mold. We've gotten reports. Sure. Our team has written about that in recent weeks, how Arizona regulators are on high alert now, in Colorado as well, for cannabis products, that's citing contamination concerns. So when it comes to quality control, where does C15 come in? In that respect.
Absolutely. So what you're speaking to there, Tony, are all kind of elements of the cost of quality. When it comes to the production process, there's going to be mistakes, period. Everyone has them, whether, you know, it is contamination, like you mentioned, that might show up in a COA, or it's a deviation from an internal process that leads to a contaminated batch before it's even released. So our system more specifically automates the investigation component of that. So when an operator has things like customer complaints or internal deviations or supplier corrective action issues. So issues with, you know, you may have out of spec raw materials that you were going to use for a production run. Now all of a sudden you can't because it's out of spec. So our system basically has workflows for all of those processes. And basically it automates the whole process to say, okay, you know, if let's say for instance, there's been a fluctuation, big fluctuation in temperature, humidity in a grow room. Well, our system can actually integrate to environment controls and automatically initiate an unplanned deviation record, notify the QA team, hey, we've noticed something's a little out of the specified range, whether it's humidity, temperature, otherwise pressure related to an extraction machine or something. And, you know, the QA team can triage it from there. And our system is basically dummy proof. So it says, you know, here, go do the root cause analysis now. Here's how you do the risk assessment. And here's where you finally, you know, here's where you implement the corrective action, sign off on it. And now we can release the batch or, God forbid, we have to destroy some product. So it's really the management of when shit hits the fan, pardon my French.
So you actually went right into to what I wanted to go into next, which was people, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about tech, right? We're talking about systems and processes and SOPs and obviously all incredibly important to mature those as this industry matures.
Yep.
But, you know, one, I would say even the more important conversation right now is how do those processes help companies retain talent?
Yeah.
That seems to be just a massive issue is the hiring and firing within cannabis. And I include both of those because both are issues right now. Yep. But how do your processes set companies up for success in terms of understanding who is a fit for their company or who can work in their company? Obviously, it's up to them to hire correctly, but the retention and the firing, I feel like you could actually help companies understand their next steps with some of their employees.
1,000% yes to all those things. So we've had like customers come to us and say, like, I'd quit the job if my company unplugged C15. Like that kind of sentiment associated with the solution. And it's because we allow our customers and the users, more specifically the people, to focus on their day jobs. Like we've already spoken to the regulatory burden that comes with being a US operator in all these different markets with all these different requirements. And like record keeping is the bane of every professional's existence. It is such a pain in the arse, especially if you're doing it manually. And our system really automates a huge chunk of that. So you can focus on, you know, what your job actually is, which isn't dotting I's and crossing T's. You know, it's inspecting batches, it's resolving investigations, it's dealing with suppliers. So it does that. And then the other thing it does is it automates a lot of the more mundane tasks. So like COA analysis, for instance, you know, every single batch has how many COAs associated with it that need to be tested before they're released. A lot of companies have a human, usually on the QA team, not part of the core QA duties, manually transcribing not just whether it's a pass or fail, but every single result for all the analytes tested, because they want to know, you know, what's my trend analysis look like over time? Are we trending in the right direction? What's the potency look like? The terpenes. It's not just a binary pass fail. Yeah, we're good to go. You know, you do want to have real quality KPIs and metrics associated with your production process. And if you're doing everything manually, could you imagine the headache trying to consolidate all that COA data and production data, investigation data, maybe, or even supplier related data? So, you know, our system, what it does really well, it's a unified system where your documents, your investigations, and your training records all live in the same place. So that way you can relate one thing to another, a supplier to a complaint, a piece of equipment to an internal deviation, that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm sold, Elliot.
I have. Can you buy it?
I have no money. I can't. But I would love to know. Let's get one, like a really tight description of what it could do for shareholder value. A lot of cannabis bosses, you know, they can give us a case study on where like a cannabis company went wrong. You know, I imagine you're probably tight-lipped on clientele, whatever, but if you could reveal maybe a case study, however you can, of perhaps what was at stake, where they delisted when something happened, and did shareholder value plummet, and how did the company help?
Yes. It's not a happy ending story, but it's a good illustration of how powerful our system is with respect to risk mitigation. So one of our earlier customers, a Canadian, back in the ACMPR days, was CanTrust. I'm sure you've heard of, you know, that whole saga and what they went through and where it is today, unfortunately. But point being, when they had their license revoked by Health Canada, the federal governing body up here, they were delisted from the TSX. You know, value destruction for shareholder to the tunes of, I don't know how many millions, but millions. And we were actually the centerpiece of their remediation plan, submitted to Health Canada to get their license back. And we helped them get that license back. Now, obviously, they had to go through, you know, brand change, management change, all that. You couldn't leave the same people in charge, quite clearly. But needless to say, you know, we, Health Canada, very familiar with our platform. And without that, without this, you know, source of truth and a record-keeping tool that you can't manipulate or fudge, that went a long ways to, you know, building that trust back. And I think that's the word I kind of inadvertently keep coming back to. But it is trust. It builds trust with suppliers, with regulators, and no better example than that. Here's your license back. We trust you. You're using C15. Yeah, we're going to audit you pretty regularly. But, you know, we have the tools to do that. And that's the other thing, too, is we can actually facilitate remote inspections pretty easily because it's cloud-based software. So it's a really powerful tool for operators and regulators alike.
Wonderful. Sean, this has been enlightening, man. It's interesting to hear what companies are doing to expel redundancies from the balance sheet. This is a big theme of this year, as we heard all last week, in terms of how companies are trying to remain competitive. It sounds like you're offering them the ability to do so on a number of levels. So thank you for being here, kind of explaining what companies can do to achieve that. And hopefully we'll catch up and brighter times, my friend, when there's less stress. Maybe another catalyst has taken us to industry 5.0, or it's probably not the appropriate term, but I'm using it anyway. But that being said, thank you, Sean. Appreciate you being here. It's C15, not C15, C15 Solutions.
Sean, we don't really care. You call us whatever you want, but I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank sir. You, we'll talk soon.
All right. Take care, guys.
Oh man, I gotta go back and watch the tape, Elliot. Was it me? Did I say C15?
No, it was me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was all me.
I knew it was C15.
I said it like five times, so the tape won't be kind to me. But that said, Tony, my man, we're over time. Worth it. Yeah. Really, really, some interesting topics there. And obviously, there's a lot of regulations, a lot of compliances these companies have to battle. And when a company offers multiple solutions in one, I mean, that they're a real player, and they're obviously already, it's proven, they're working with some of the largest names in the industry.
Absolutely. But before we go, I think I cut you off before. I want to get those dates in for the cannabis event coming up in Chicago.
September 27th and 28th. I believe you can just scan the QR code right there. BZCannabis.com. BZCannabis.com. If you're listening after the fact, grab the cheapest tickets you will get for this event right now. When they go up, we'll have some random discounts. But if you reach out to me, I'm not going to give. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not ruthless. But that being said, it's like $200 right now to get your ticket to the best industry event out there.
That's like
get
one your night tickets. Out in Manhattan.
Yeah, and then reach out to me, ElliotLaneAtBenzinger.com. If you or your company want to be involved, I'm the guy, and I'm one of the guys, I should say. And Tony Noda will be covering you accordingly. All right, my friend, I think that is it. I'm going to leave us with one bit of news here.
Okay.
Flora Growth Corp announces the appointment of Hussein Rakeen as CEO and member of the board of directors as Luis Merchan submits his resignation.
Holy cow, breaking news.
Yeah. Wow. I'm just seeing that on our feed. Flora Growth Corp stock up 0.93%. I'm a big Luis Merchan fan. He was fighting for Colombian legalization, like full Colombian legalization. The man was making moves. So this is surprising, I think, and maybe not surprising to people really in the know, but I think to a lot of people, the growth of Flora Growth, they missed some of their guidance. But their guidance was going to be triple what it was last year. So, you know, to me, I'm interested to see which way this goes. I'm sure Hussein will be doing a wonderful, wonderful job. I was a fan of Luis, so hopefully their growth continues in the right direction. That said, I'm sure we'll see a lot more executive change, fortunately or unfortunately, over the next 12 to 18 months. But we don't want to see people leaving this industry. We want to see them coming in, right? But that said, I'm sure Luis will continue to fight for cannabis. He's passionate for it.
Sure. If not consuming, at least.
Touché. Let's go find him. We could probably light one up now. My friend Tony Noto joining us here as Javier Jase is out. The Argentinian action figure, international man of mystery himself, is somewhere in the air and or flying somewhere. But Tony, thanks for joining us, my friends. And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We will see you guys again on Thursday, 4:20, for our interview with Weed Maps. Until then, y'all, have a great one. Peace.